The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side, and joined by Steve Clark. Before we get back to Steve and get our dose of Hawkeye defense,
get on board with Brighton Ford.
That is exactly
I'm working
right
on it every day. I'm trying to get better.
Or maybe Devin. I mean, it's a great Devin Gardner impression. That's how fired up he was that he got his new Ford F-150 from John Cuter and the crew over at Brighton Ford. Like they take care of or took care of Devin, they will take care of you with the outstanding deals. But maybe it's not a pickup that you're looking to get into, right? Maybe it's one of those nice sort of mid-sized vehicles like the 2021 Ford Edge SEL. You get into that for $229 a month with $2,000 down, or $322 a month with $500 down. Or how about the new 2021 Ford Bronco Sport Big Bend? You can get into that for $312 a month with $2,000 down, or $374 a month with $500 down. And last but not least, another pickup option, a 2022 Ford Maverick XLT all-wheel drive. Get into that for $228 a month, $2,000 down, or $290 a month with $500 down. For those and other great deals, get on board with Brighton Ford by going to brightonford.com, call 1-800-NEW-FORD, or make it out to the lot at 8240 West Granville Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Now it's time to get back to Steve Clark. Now, Steve, you didn't do a great job of making us fear the Iowa offense. How about making us fear the Iowa defense?
Sam, that's what's the great equalizer. To this offense. And, you know, again, the Iowa offense can be putrid at times. They were 2 of 14 on third down against Northwestern. Okay. So how does Iowa win the West and be 10-2? And it's their defense and special teams. And you can make an argument, Sam, that Iowa has the best or second best defense in the conference. You know, automatically you say, what about Wisconsin? You know, they gave up 27 points to Wisconsin and Madison. Well, Iowa's offense, you know, fumbled three times inside their own 20. To hold Wisconsin to 27 after doing that, I actually think that's pretty darn good. Defensive-wise, they're number one in defensive efficiency. They're number three in total defense. They're number three in rush defense. And they're outstanding in that regard. And the other thing that makes them fantastic is that they are opportunistic. They are absolutely opportunistic with 22 interceptions over the course of the season, over 12 games. And they just play lights out defensively. I mean, it started with the season with the two pick sixes by Riley Moss, who, by the way, was named the Woodson Defensive Back of the Year in the Big Ten. And they do things rather well. I'm sorry, I had to shift my place of where I was talking about for a moment. Sam, can you cover me just for a second as I
yes,
get I reorganized?
Sure yes, I sure can. You know, watching them
sorry.
Early in the season, the thing that really stuck out is how much you know, sort of leeway they gave their offense to be terrible, because they were getting like 10 turnovers a game. I'm exaggerating for effect. But those guys were turnover creating machines when you think about it. I mean, I remember watching the Penn State game, and that was one of the games that got me, right? I'm thinking Penn State's going to go in there and take care of business. I'm thinking, you know, Iowa can't keep forcing turnovers at this rate. And yet, there you have it. They were able to do it once again. Now, why did Iowa lose to Purdue? I got a chance to talk to Ron English about this yesterday. As a matter of fact, he was in town and he made the point. He said, look, Iowa, it was a good matchup for us. We had a good plan. We got some good players, but you know, Iowa, they should beat us. But you know what happened before we played Iowa is they beat Penn State. And they were so high off of that victory over beating Penn State. And then they suffered some injuries in that game. And that's one of the things I want to get to Steve about is how are they health-wise. But it was one of those things where they didn't come down off the high. And they got clipped. And that's the cautionary tale for Michigan. You know, very similar circumstance, and they pulled off an upset that few people thought them, you know, capable of pulling off. And now you're left to face, albeit in a championship game, a team that is not on your level, talent-wise. But they don't beat themselves. And that it was amazing to hear the consistency of the breakdown from coach to coach. I talked to Al.
Yeah,
talked to Van yesterday. I talked to Steve. I talked to Ryan English yesterday. And they all said, separate from one another, really sound, they don't beat them. You got to beat them. This was the statement that they all uttered pretty much verbatim without being around one another. You got to beat them because they won't beat themselves. They all three right. of them so, said it, Steve. Right.
Yeah. So let me go over the three real questionable games that Iowa had, starting with week six, in which they, you know, came back from behind to beat Penn State. Here's an Iowa thing that Iowa does. Penn State is starting to win convincingly in Kinnick, and Jack Campbell, one of their best defenders, takes Sean Clifford out of the game. Nothing, you know, nefarious, nothing, you know, cheap. It's not one a cheap shot. It was just a shot, you know, and Sean Clifford can't play. And a couple plays later, they settle for a field goal, and Penn State's up 14. And at that point, Iowa's offense just doesn't come from behind and win games. It was a question of whether Iowa had enough time to come back from being down 14, because this offense isn't meant to come from behind. And Penn State was next to nothing on offense because they had all their eggs in the Sean Clifford quarterback basket, didn't have a backup worth mentioning. Okay. The defense rallied for four picks, one inside the 10-yard line to open up the game. They had another in the end zone, resulting in a touchback. At the time, they led the nation with, you know, with 16, plus 16 in turnover margin, forcing 20 turnovers in six games. Offense had no rushing touchdowns for Iowa in that game. They somehow managed to beat them because, again, Penn State has no offense, and it was just enough time for them to be able to get one or two drives going and get there and score. Now you got them being number two. And if you want a cautionary tale, Sam, Iowa gets elevated to number two in the nation. You know how long Iowa held on to that number two spot?
A week.
A
right?
week. How long when Ohio State beat Michigan State, where did they get elevated to?
Number two.
How long did that last?
A week.
What's Michigan ranked right now?
Number two, Steve.
All right. How about that for fear?
We're
you want
taking.
Me to bring the fear factor? Well, fear factor is coming to you, to quote Joe Rogan. Anyway.
So
the Purdue game, I mean, Purdue in particular, David Bell has Iowa's number. And their offense, and David Bell in particular, totally outplayed them. And defensively, Purdue outplayed Iowa. I mean, this time it was Iowa with minus three in the turnover margin after they were leading the nation. O'Connell had 375 yards passing, and he was hitting all the windows. And every time it looked like Iowa was going to make a play, it was just a half a beat too late and an inch too short. And that's what it was. And, of course, Iowa's offense wasn't going to compete. They, you know, Spencer Petras threw four interceptions against the Purdue defense, and they lose 24-7. Then they turn it over a whole bunch of times inside the 20-yard line against Wisconsin on the same day that Michigan was playing Michigan State. And Wisconsin, you know, took Iowa out of the game early and often. And the next thing you know, you feel like you're lucky you've beaten Penn State. You get drilled by Purdue. You get drilled by Wisconsin. And pretty much everybody wrote Iowa off. And then under a backup quarterback, okay, they start winning ugly. 17-12 against Northwestern. As I said, 2-14 on third down. They hang on to beat Minnesota 27-22, which looks now look like a bigger win than it was at the time. You know, Illinois kind of makes it close against Iowa. They beat them 33-23. But I told you the last two games, like eight field goals, a kick return for a touchdown, a safety, a blocked punt for a touchdown, you know, a couple of pick sixes. Two offensive touchdowns. two offensive touchdowns and 8 field goals by the Iowa offense, but it's the defense that makes them go. And their secondary is just all over the place. I mean, I mentioned Riley Moss. He's, you know, the Woodson defensive back of the year. Continues a trend of Hawkeyes who have won the award. He's got 4 interceptions. That's tied for 11th in the NCAA. And he's missed 3 games because of injury. So he probably could have had more interceptions. So he's a Jim Thorpe semifinalist. And I mentioned 2 pick sixes. He's got 10 career interceptions and 3 career pick sixes in his 4 years there. And then you got Dane Belton, who was named first team All Big Ten yesterday. He's got 5 interceptions. That ties for the NCAA lead, you know, for them. And then Matt Hankins, as a cornerback, he has 3 interceptions, but thank goodness he isn't playing. He had an injury a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, I don't mean to minimize that, but he will not be playing in this game. That's already been decided. And but, you know, they've got depth in that secondary. And again, they're opportunistic. And if you want to think about, you know, Cade McNamara throwing the quick hitch out, you know, on the opposite sides of the hash and, you know, Michigan getting a few yards like it's a running play that way. Iowa cornerbacks, they jump those routes. They jump them. And that's one of the reasons why they have as many interceptions as they do in pick sixes, because they don't give an inch. Even on those, what, you know, so-called safety plays by the offense. Maybe Michigan should try some stop and goes with that route, break a little bit of tendency and see what happens. Linebacker-wise, Sam, Jack Campbell, he's a first-team All-Big Ten player by the media, second-team midseason All-American by the Athletic. His 124 tackles ranked 2nd in the Big Ten and 7th in the nation. He's a really good guy, you know, on that defense for them. He's got 6 pass breakups, 2 fumble recoveries. He's also got a touchdown he got for Illinois. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh saying Sunday, I mean, he's got a real nose for the football. Wrapping things up real quick, they got 2 Michigan players as starters. One is a defensive lineman, Zach Van Valkenburg. Imagine he's from Zeeland. Imagine that. He's got 3.5 sacks so far, 11.5 tackles for loss, and 8 quarterback hurries. He's a second team All Big Ten performer, as named by the coaches. And the other guy, even more local, Kayvon Merriweather, is a starting safety. He's a sophomore out of Belleville. He has started the last 3 weeks of the season so far. He has 3 pass breakups, and of course he has an interception because everybody in Iowa does. And another player to look out for is Jack Kerner, 3rd on the team with 76 tackles. Didn't play a couple weeks ago, but is healthy enough to play in this one. Preseason All-Big Ten, second team All-Big Ten in 2020.
Gotcha. Steve, it's going to be fun, man. First Big Ten championship game. The KeyBank countdown to kickoff, going to be on the road. Really, really looking forward to that. And so we'll get to our picks come Saturday. But for now, we've already seen a few awards. Who's going to argue with Aiden Hutchinson being a defensive player of the year, right? Defensive lineman. No one's going to argue with that. I do have an argument with the Big Ten coach of the year. I think it's ridiculous that it didn't go to Jim Harbaugh. I think that if it were any other coach in the Big Ten, if his name wasn't Jim Harbaugh, he would be. I'm not, make no mistake, Mel Tucker did a great job this year. Great job. But he got destroyed 56-7. Destroyed. Lost to an unranked team on the road. Yes, they beat Michigan, but whose resume of wins, when you consider that Michigan beat the team that destroyed Michigan State 56-7. And don't tell me that, oh, well, no one expected anything from Michigan State. Who expected Michigan to be contending for the Big Ten championship this year? Who expected Michigan to be in the national title hunt this year? No one outside of Ann Arbor was predicting them to beat Ohio State last week. So how is it that Jim Harbaugh isn't the coach of the year?
Must be that Michigan State was so far below Michigan in 2020. They must have saw how much ground they made up and decided to give it that way. Look, Jim Harbaugh, a lot of people, was a coach that everybody thought should be fired. And I don't think in the same sentence that media members called for his ousting, that he was incapable of beating Ohio State, that they could actually turn around in a week and give him the Big Ten Coach of the Year. I just think that they're covering up their own criticism. Mm.
Mm. Makes sense, Steve.
I don't say that's a strong. I don't think that's a strong argument. But I'm just saying that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I look, man. After last week, that's ridiculous.
I know who I would have voted for. I don't get a vote. Shouldn't we, Sam?
Yeah, man. Well, Steve,
I cover the whole Big Ten.
Yeah, and you're gonna be covering the Big Ten in Indianapolis this weekend. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to hopefully a breakdown next week, talking about Michigan being for the first time in the national playoffs. Steve Clark, it is always a pleasure, my friend.
Matt, so looking forward to seeing you guys on Friday. And look, I'm not mad about not getting a vote. I'm just having fun with everybody.
No, but you should have a vote. But Steve, thanks. Thanks, man. And thanks to all of you. I promise I'm going to try to have my voice back. I've been doing...
We had a lot of Ricola messages for you, Sam, this morning. A lot of Ricola! Before we get out of here, Sam, I do, on our way out, I want to wish my dad a very happy birthday. We're going to see him a little later on today, but a very happy birthday to Papa Weintraub as he is celebrating another big day. And needless to say, Sam, he got the first half of his birthday present on Saturday, and he hopes to get the second half of his birthday present this Saturday. I don't think a whole lot else matters unless it's coming from grace. So happy birthday, yes, Dad.
Yes, I definitely echo that sentiment in joining you and wishing Papa Weintraub a happy, happy, happy birthday and looking forward to it. Is he making it down to Indy too?
Duh.
Okay, well, maybe we'll look, let's recreate some Atlanta magic.
Oh, that would be fun.
Except without the trade block being called a foul.
There you go.
Right? Let's do it all over again, but right this time. We got to get out of here, folks. Thanks for listening to the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050. WTK The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.